Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome back for another edition of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we got a fun, loaded show today. We're going to be joined by Utah Ute football coach Kyle Whittingham. The spring practice schedule came to a close for the Utes on Saturday with what was really one of the more entertaining spring games you'll see. The red defeated the white by just 2 points, 25-23, as Matt Gay kicked a 57-yard field goal. That was entertaining football. We'll talk to Coach Whittingham about Tyler Huntley and his performance and some of the other topics surrounding the Utah Ute football program. And typically, we catch up with Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher, on Mondays, but instead, we're going to talk Major League Baseball today. Yesterday, we focused on the NBA. Today, some Major League Baseball. And that's where we will start with the national news. The big story today, and this will kind of tell you how slow the national news has been, Chicago Cubs first baseman Anthony Rizzo. Having spent time on the DL, which is not something that Rizzo is used to, he's been a regular. He's played in at least 130 games in each of his major league seasons. In the last 3 years, he's played at least 155 games. But he's been on the DL. He's going to be back in the lineup tonight, and now he's advocating for a shorter baseball season. Now, Rizzo makes a regular appearance on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, and this is what he had to say today. I think we play too much baseball. Quote, yes, guys would have to take pay cuts, but are we playing this game for the money, or do we love this game? I know it's both, but in the long run, it will make everything better. Nah, I don't know about that. Look, I've never played a 162-game season in anything, so I'm in no position to sit here and call Anthony Rizzo soft or make fun of the fact that this guy doesn't want to play 162 games. And I'm going to say that it is more of a coincidence that he said that coming off the DL. Because, again, he doesn't spend a lot of time on the DL. I think where he's getting at, it's been tough for the Cubs. It's been tough for the Cubs to start this season because the weather has been so incredibly crappy in Chicago. They had to postpone back-to-back games on Monday, and now they're scheduled to take on the Cardinals in close to freezing temperatures tonight. And I think that's where the problem is. And we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the show. When you take a look at struggling teams, a lot of it has to do with weather. Like, you have to consider that at this point in time of the year. The Cubs are playing 500 baseball. They've been playing in freezing weather. That changes the dynamic considerably. And so really, it's an interesting take. It's something I've never really thought of. I think that's the route that Rizzo was going. Now, as far as a 162-game season goes, I've said this a million times, I'm going to go back to it. You take your family to a Major League Baseball stadium, it's the most fan-friendly professional sport in the country. It tops the NBA, it tops the NFL. To me, it's second to none as far as fan and family-friendly environments. I love Major League Baseball for that. One of the other things I love about Major League Baseball is the historical records and the context behind America's pastime. And if you shorten that 162-game season, it's completely different. And one of the fun things about the abstract conversation of baseball is that, for the most part, it's been universally the same deal. You know, in the NBA, we want to talk about eras. Well, we have the illegal defense era. We have the shot clock era. We have the three-point era. It's not really the same thing in baseball. For the most part, it's been the same game carried over from generation to generation. That's why I don't think you can ever get rid of a 162-game season. However, I agree with Rizzo on the fact that it probably sucks playing baseball in the cold. It sucks watching baseball in the cold. It's not fun. So I guess I get that. That's the lead story in the national sports front, and I think that tells you just how slow of a day it's actually been. Let's take a look at the schedule. We will begin in the NBA. Last night, we had some awesome playoff action once again. The Miami Heat taking care of business to tie up the series with the 76ers, and then we had the Warriors once again smacking around the San Antonio Spurs. As far as tonight's schedule, we get three games. Washington at Toronto. We get Milwaukee at Boston. New Orleans at Portland. I think Toronto handles their business. In my opinion, that's still the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, the way things are sitting right now. The Milwaukee and Boston game is so interesting to me because Milwaukee is a team that's not necessarily playoff savvy. They lost a gut-wrenching affair in Game 1 against Boston. How do they respond, and how creative do they get offensively to free things up for Giannis after he puts up 35 points in Game 1? I'm really curious about that game. And then New Orleans and Portland. Anthony Davis may be the hottest player, individual player in the NBA right now. This guy's played out of his mind. He took the Pelicans to the playoffs after DeMarcus Cousins goes down, and then they steal home court from the Portland Trail Blazers, who have now lost six out of their last seven. I'm interested with this game as well. That's the slate in the NBA. 5 o'clock, Washington at Toronto. Boston will play host to Milwaukee at 6. And then the nightcap tonight at 8:30, it's Portland and New Orleans. As far as the scoreboard in Major League Baseball, we are close to getting our first final of the afternoon. The Blue Jays just whooping up on the Royals 11-3. That contest right now is in the ninth inning. Still to come in the 4 o'clock hour, 4:35, we'll get the Marlins at the Yankees. JT Realmuto will come off of the DL for the Miami Marlins. We'll see him for the very first time. He had a very successful stint in the minors after starting the year on the DL. Again, the Marlins and Yankees at 4:35 tonight. 4:40, we get the Orioles at the Tigers. 5 o'clock hour, the Rockies will go toe-to-toe with the Pirates. Chad Bettis, who has been very good for the Rockies so far this year. He's 2-0 on the season with a 2-0 ERA. He'll go toe-to-toe against Trevor Williams on the mound. 5:07, it's the Royals and the Blue Jays. The Indians will take on the Twins. The Nationals will go toe-to-toe with the Mets. The Mets are sitting at 12-3 right now. 6-3 at home. They have yet to lose a game on the road. This game will take place at Citi Field in New York. 5:10, it's the Rangers at the Rays. We get the Phillies taking on the Braves. The Reds will travel to meet the Milwaukee Brewers. 6 o'clock hour, the Cubs will battle the Cardinals. And again, Rizzo will be back in the lineup for the Cubbies as they take on the Cards. 7:40 tonight, Giants at the Diamondbacks. We get the White Sox traveling to meet the A's. The Red Sox will take on the Angels. Love that matchup. Potential ALCS showdown right there. Yeah, I could say that in April. I'm fine with saying that because as far as the Red Sox go, the team to beat in the AL East hands down, and then you have the Angels and you have the Astros, and I think you have everyone else in the American League right now. 8:10 tonight, it's the Astros taking on the Mariners, and the Dodgers will look to make it two in a row as they take on the Padres tonight. Alex Wood, who was so good for the Dodgers last season, 0-2 this year with a 5.09 ERA. He'll take on Brian Mitchell. It's a quick rundown of what's happening in the national sports front. Again, coming up on the show, next segment, we're going to be joined by Coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes, and we'll give you the local sports recap. Plus, Bill Lasky is going to talk some Major League Baseball with us. It's all straight ahead here on this Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. And two Utah State Eastern women basketball players have signed letters of intent to play at four-year schools. Sophomores Rochelle Blazard and Caitlin Tuliono have signed a letter of intent to continue their playing career in the state of Utah. Blazard signed with Dixie State University and will play alongside current teammate Madison Loftus and former USU Eastern Eagle Miley Richardson. In her lone season as an Eagle, Rochelle Blazard started in all 30 games and averaged 7 points and 3 rebounds to go along with 3 assists per game. She also led the Lady Eagles in free throw percentage with 89.1% at the line. Now, Caitlin Tuliono will play her college basketball at Westminster, which is near her hometown of Taylorsville in the Salt Lake City area. Tuliono started 50 games in her career at USU Eastern and averaged just under 9 points per contest while pulling down 7 boards. She tallied 400 career rebounds and 521 career points at USU Eastern. Congratulations to both girls for continuing their college basketball playing days. We move over to high school sports, and yesterday on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we were joined by Emory High School soccer coach Troy Winter. As it sits right now, the Spartans sit at the very top of the Region 15 standings with a record of 4-1-1. The team has not lost a game in close to a month. Now, the Emory Spartans will continue action today on the road against South Sevier, and that'll set the stage for a very important game on Thursday against the Grand Red Devils. Coach Winter talked about the way his team has evolved throughout the year.
When you put, you know, numbers together and look at it on paper and stuff, you know, the soccer team really has performed well against each one of the teams that we play. Their level of play and their level of intensity for each game has been, you know, has been really good. There's a few things that we need to improve on, We make adjustments on a regular basis, and we get them improvements. And as a coach, I'm really proud of the team for doing that.
Coach Winter continued by talking about what a big weekend this is for his team, considering they have a road contest with South Sevier and then a home tilt with the Grand Red Devils.
We have a little bit of an edge, as far as personnel, athlete to athlete or player to player. I feel like we have a little bit of an edge, that the key elements, which with all of our remaining games, but those two specifically, is we have to show up and play. I think we have the potential and the opportunity to come out and beat Grands, and then go give Manti a really, really good game, if not be able to, defeat them as well, too. So I'm really confident in our ability if we'll show up and play, at them game.
Start time for today's road contest is set to begin at 4 p.m. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll talk more Emory soccer in the coming days. Now we take a look at the schedule throughout the high school ranks. And today on the baseball diamond, the Emory Spartans will welcome in North San Pete. As it sits right now, Emory is sitting 3-5 in region play, and that puts them in fourth place. Today will be the first of two games against North San Pete. The second will come on Friday in Mount Pleasant. The Emory softball team will also return to the diamond today. The Lady Spartans will travel on the road to meet North San Pete. Start time for that game is set for 3:30 p.m. We take a look at Carbon High School, and the Dinos will look to keep their stranglehold on the top of the Region 14 standings. They'll put their unbeaten region baseball record on the line with a road trip to American Leadership. Start time for this game is set for 3 p.m. The women's softball team will play host to American Leadership at 3:30 p.m., and the soccer team will also play host to ALA. Start time for that game is set for 3:30 p.m. Today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, we're going to be joined by Utah Ute football coach Kyle Whittingham. We'll talk about spring workouts and what went down this past Saturday and what was a very entertaining spring football game that came down to the wire. Coach Whittingham will be a part of the Coach's Corner today on Drive Time Sports, which begins at 4 p.m. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. And you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Let's talk some college football in the Coach's Corner. This past Saturday, the Utah Utes played host to their annual spring game. The red and white contest came down to the wire. Matt Gay delivered a 57-yard kick to lead the red team past the white team 25-23. Some of the major statistics in this game: Tyler Huntley finished 6 of 12 for 72 yards, had one touchdown. He played on the red team, really limited his rushing attempts, had just 3 yards running the football in this contest. He did cap off a 2-play drive with a 7-yard touchdown to Jamison Field. Outside of that, walk-on quarterback Drew Lisk threw for 133 yards and 2 scores. Drew freshman quarterback Jack Tuttle threw one interception in this contest, got several other opportunities, finished 8 of 14 for 86 yards, did throw a 49-yard touchdown. Several key players did sit this one out and watch from the sidelines. We're going to talk about that and more as the season is really not that far off. It'll be August 30th. The Utes will kick off against Weber State right here on KOAL. And joining us right now over the phone to talk about this past weekend spring game and what the schedule now holds for the Utes here over the next 4 months, we have Coach Kyle Whittingham over the phone. Coach, a pleasure as always. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Always look forward to it, Coach. And typically, we talk to you ahead of the spring game. Now we're talking as everything is kind of done and the dust is settled, at least somewhat. How did you assess the spring workout, spring practices up to the red and white game on Saturday, Coach?
Well, I thought we had an outstanding spring. It was, you get 15 practices, and I thought we took a step forward every time we were on the field. And this group we have has got a great work ethic. They're focused. The leadership is outstanding, and it all culminated with the spring game last Saturday, which I thought was very entertaining. Hopefully the fans enjoyed it. It was all the way down to the wire, a lot of drama at the end, and so a good way to finish spring. And now, obviously, we're the next big task ahead of us is the summer conditioning program, which starts up in about 4 or 5 weeks, and that'll be really a determiner of how well we do this fall, is how much work they're willing to do this summer.
You talked about the drama in the spring game. Have you ever been a part of a game that ends on a 57-yard kick like that as far as a red and white game goes all the way down to the wire?
I don't think so. That may be the most exciting spring game I've ever been a part of. And And it was, you know, there was so many momentum changes. I mean, the red team scored, thought they had it won, then the white team answered with just a great drive for a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and the red team responded again with that field goal. So, and Matty Gay, I mean, he's a tremendous kicker, and you know, he's a Lou Groza Award winner, and he lives for situations like that. And feel really good about our special teams this coming fall with the Lou Groza Award-winning place kicker and a Ray Guy Award-winning punter, and getting Britton Covey back to handle the return duties. So we're in pretty good shape special teams-wise.
Let's talk about the quarterbacks in this game. Tyler Huntley goes 6 of 12, 72 yards, throws one touchdown. I was definitely most intrigued to see Jack Tuttle out there, a four-star quarterback who's highly touted. Good to see him out there as well. Definitely showed some flashes. How did you assess the quarterback play?
I thought they had an outstanding spring overall, and I thought all four of them performed well in the spring game. We've only got four on our roster right now, three scholarship and one walk-on quarterback. And Tyler Huntley emerged as the number one guy, and that was very obvious to us as coaches. Jason Shelley and Jack Tuttle are waging a fierce war for that second spot. And we have Drew Lisk, who's the fourth guy right now, who was, again, very good in the spring game. So nothing's ever set in stone. You know, you got all summer to make improvement, and then the fall camp. You know, we'll pick up where we left off in spring with fall camp, and the battle continues. But if we had to play today, it would be Tyler Huntley, no question.
Are you happy with the progression that he's made, Coach, from the spring practices to the end of the red and white game?
Very much so, and he grew a great deal in a lot of different ways just this spring ball when you compare it to last fall. He's making better decisions. He understands when to give the ball in the run game, when to keep it much better. You know, last year we all know he ran the ball a little bit too much, and we got to cut down on that. But he is just really starting to put it all together as a quarterback, and hopefully he has a breakout year. We'll see what happens, but that's our hope, obviously, is that he really has a excellent year for us.
I remember years ago you and I were talking, Coach, and you said that you would wrap Devontae Booker in bubble wrap for spring practices in the spring game. Tyler only has, I think, three carries, if I remember right, in this red and white game. Is that by design, kind of a safety precaution, or is that kind of more along the lines of the X's and O's that you want to implement going into the next year?
Probably a little bit of both. You know, we know we can't run him as much as we did last year. At least we hope not to. And he's going to be a bigger, stronger kid this year. He's gonna, you know, his challenge. That's one of the biggest things he faces right now is putting that weight on his frame and getting up to around 200 pounds. Whereas last year he was closer to 180. And so we hope that makes him more durable. But he's always going to, you know, running the football is always going to be a part of his game and his strengths. But we just got to pick our spots a little better with it this year. And he's become a much better decision maker in the throw game. That's really important as well. He's a very accurate passer, but he's got a great feel for the RPOs, you know, the run-pass options. He's getting sharper at that as far as reading those.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach Kyle Whittingham. Coach, a number of players, named players that, you know, even the casual fans would be well aware of, did not play in the red and white game. Zach Moss, Cody Barton, Chase Hansen, just to name a few. What are some of the disadvantages, if any, for those kids who don't get a play in that scrimmage game?
Well, I don't think there's any disadvantage. They, you know, they're proven commodities. They've played a lot of football for us. And so you want to come out of spring as healthy as you can. And we had an outstanding spring as far as health, probably the healthiest we've come out of the spring in many years. And the spring game is a great opportunity for some of those players that haven't played much football for us and in backup roles that can go out and show, their readiness. How ready are they to contribute this fall? That gives us a good indicator of where they're at and who we think we can count on for helping us out and making the travel squad and who is not quite ready yet.
We've talked offense. I got to flip defense. I do want to talk to you about Cody Barton. Played in all 12 games for you guys last year. I know he had a tremendous outing against Colorado where he had something like 10 tackles, second on the team in sacks throughout the year. Talk to me about Cody Barton, what he'll bring to the table, at least what you hope he'll bring to the table in the upcoming season.
Well, first of all, it's his senior year coming up. He never redshirted, so it went pretty quick. You know, he's a true senior. He has been an outstanding leader for us. If you talk about who the one guy through winter conditioning on the team, if you had to single out one guy as the absolute team leader, it would be Cody Barton. He set the pace every single day. As you mentioned, he really started to come on as a linebacker towards the end of the season, and he was very productive this spring. And we're hoping, you know, between him, Chase Hansen, Donovan Thompson, we've got a pretty good linebacker crew. We only play a two linebacker scheme now. You know, we used to play a 4-3, but with all the spread offenses that we face, it's almost exclusively 4-2 nickel, and so we've got to have four or five backers that we have confidence in that can play, and we feel that when all is said and done and we line up on August 30th, we'll be right where we need to be.
As far as positions that are intriguing, Coach, I got to get your opinion on your tight end situation, because it seems like as far as the tight end goes in this upcoming year, I mean, you guys have a lot of options. It's pretty intriguing as you start doing the research on it and you see what you guys actually have at tight end and some changes. It's interesting to me.
Well, yeah, tight end, we did lose our top two guys last year, Ciali and Harrison Hanley, and so we'll have a new look at tight end. Jake Jackson might be the most improved player on the football team, and right now he is the top tight end going into fall camp. Bapa Falamaka was actually the leading receiver for the spring game. I think he caught six balls, so he really stood out. And then we're going to add three more tight ends this fall with Cole Fotheringham, who returns off a mission, the Keithy kid from Texas, and then the Yasmin kid from Australia. And so we think that position is going to be a strong suit of ours for years to come, as soon as these guys develop. And like I said, Jake Jackson really started to come into his own towards the end of spring.
We can end with this, Coach. Now that the spring game is complete, spring practices are complete, what's the schedule and the time frame like now for the Utah Ute football program?
Well, the focus right now is finishing up academically. They got finals coming up in a week or so, and that's going to be the primary thing that's going on. We've got the month of May, which is I don't want to say it's off time for the players, but that's when they're on their own working out. We have X amount of discretionary weeks during the course of the year, and May is typically where you utilize a lot of those discretionary weeks where they're on their own. So we expect them to work out on their own and come back at the end of May in great shape, ready to hit the ground running in the summer program, which starts the Tuesday after Memorial Day. So that's the next thing up as a team will be that summer conditioning, which starts that Tuesday, and that goes for 9 weeks. So that'll be a critical part of our success or lack thereof this fall, depending on how we handle that.
Yeah, before we know it, we'll be talking about Weber State on August 30th. It seems like it pops up in early.
Right. Getting closer.
Coach, I'm always so appreciative of the time. Thank you very much. It's always fun to talk with you and get an update on the program. Have a great rest of your day. I appreciate it.
Okay, Jordan. Good to visit with you. Take care.
You as well, Coach. Thank you. Again, that's Coach Kyle Whittingham recapping the 15 spring practices for the Utes and also talking about the red and white game this past Saturday. Do not forget, during the football season, you'll be able to listen to the Utah Utes all year long right here on KOAL. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. We'll bring in a great friend of mine, Bill Lasky of NBC Sports Bay Area. Bill, a former big league pitcher for the San Francisco Giants, now works as an analyst for the Giants. We're going to recap last week of Major League Baseball, take a look at some of the major storylines. That's coming up next when we return here on Drive Time Sports.
Hey, this is Nick Tropiano with the Anaheim Angels, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I want to talk Major League Baseball, full slate of games. In fact, we're getting set for the Marlins and the Yankees. First pitch will go out here in just a few moments. Also, in the 4 o'clock hour, we get Baltimore and Detroit. A little off topic, but did you see Bryce Harper yesterday? 406-foot home run off a broken bat. That was insane. Bryce Harper doing Barry Bonds-type things. Very, very early, obviously, in the season, but you're starting to see some interesting storylines, such as in the AL West, the Angels, the Astros. I think we got a fun battle that's going to be brewing all season long between those two teams. In the NL, the Dodgers, the Nats, and the Cubs, all struggling, all three are at or under 500 at this particular time, 15 games into the season. Joining us right now to talk about that and some of the other storylines, we have Bill Lasky. He's a former big league pitcher, spent his time with the San Francisco Giants, and now he works as an analyst for the Giants on NBC Sports Bay Area. He does some radio in the Bay Area as well. Bill, a pleasure as always to get you back on. Thank you.
Yeah, great time of the year. Once again, 15 games into the season, the contenders are up there, and You know, the ones in the middle pack are still trying to figure out offense and pitching. And it's that time of the year when you start thinking, well, is this guy going to be all right? Is he going to be DL'd? Are you going to make a move this early? So a lot of teams are right in that same mixture.
You mentioned it, 15 games. So let me throw a couple of teams out there, and you can tell me if you believe they're for real or not. And first off, to me, the biggest surprise in the National League has been the Pittsburgh Pirates. I know several media members that work in the Pittsburgh area, and they were livid with the offseason that the Pirates had. And I know that Josh Harrison's on his way now to the DL for a little while, but still, they've had some solid production, especially out of their rotation. Are the Pirates for real, or is this just a hot start to these first 15 games?
I'm going to go with a hot start. I just don't think they have the depth to hold this. Guys are making great plays. Their defense has been awesome. As you said, some of the starting pitching has gone farther than they think, and I just don't think they're going to sustain that type of offense as well as pitching as the season progresses.
Well, one of the guys I think on the mound that I don't know that he'll maintain what he's been able to produce so far, but it's Jameson Taillon. He's been fantastic for this team. So far, he's 2-0. He's got 18 strikeouts. His ERA is under 1 right now. And we're not talking about a kid that's a young kid. He's 26 years old. He's been phenomenal for this team.
Yeah, when you get an opportunity like that, and I love stories like this, when you get an opportunity, you're battling through the minor leagues, and then somebody, you know, Gerrit Cole gets traded, and there's an opportunity to get in that starting rotation. And he sure has put his face on the franchise right now. And as you say, 26, you know, did he get a chance earlier in his career? I don't believe so. First chance he's got. Now, again, you know, the league doesn't know him that well, so you're going to have first-timers. I'm being surprised at velocity and movement of the pitch. We'll just see how he sustains that as the month of May, you know, progresses closer, as well as we get into the summer months.
Talk about the Mets. They're top of their division, and as far as their offense goes, Cabrera's been lights out. He's batting something like .315, .320 so far this year. Todd Frazier's OBP is right around .500, and as far as the pitching rotation goes, Noah Syndergaard has a couple of wins. You know, you take a look at Jacob deGrom. I love what they have coming out of the bullpen with Familia and also Ramos. So, I mean, I guess it's not a huge surprise that the Mets are 12-2, but I didn't see it coming.
I think, you know, we talk about the Mets every year, and we always talk about if they can be healthy with that rotation. And this year so far, they've been healthy, and they have been putting great numbers up in the rotation, as you just said a minute ago about the bullpen coming in, lights out with Familia. But again, it's the offense. Can they continue to do this? Cespedes has been up and down, but he's been having a good year. I think the mix is starting to believe that they can sustain this. But again, we talk 15 games into it. Sure, they're for real right now, and their starting pitching has to stay healthy for them to go any further.
Bill, if we flip to the AL, what we have brewing in the American League West is what I hope is going to be an epic rivalry for the next few years in baseball, because you have the Houston Astros and you have the Angels. And you and I have talked quite a bit about the Angels, best defensive team in baseball. Otani, we spent a lot of time talking about him last week, but it just seems like this could become the next big rivalry in the American League with these two sharing the West.
They sure do, and Otani has definitely made that team stronger on the mound as well as lower part in the batting order, but you got guys like Trout getting heated, Pujols getting heated, Calhoun getting heated up. These guys are middle of the order guys, and with that depth in the batting order, I still think they're strong enough to do it. I just don't like the 6 days rest Otani's getting. Now it's going to be almost 8 because they got snowed out in Kansas City. So we'll see. Again, I love the idea of them battling against the Astros. I still think the Astros are one of the strongest teams in both American and National League. So it's great when you see two teams like that getting off to hot starts. And, of course, the Giants are going to see them next weekend. So I'm anxious to see how the National League does against the Angels at a DH park.
You know, the Angels right now have a plus 48 in run differential. That's outstanding in 16 games, isn't it?
It sure is, and they have the offense to do that, though. You talk about going top to bottom with that team. They got some sticks. They got power. And, again, once you get that team going hot, they're going to start believing they can do that. And the Angels have always been overachievers but have never gotten over the hump. This year, that overachieving might happen, and they might just pull away from the AL West.
Again, we're being joined right now by Bill Lasky as we talk Major League Baseball. Bill, I want to talk about a player that I've fallen in love with over the first 15 games of the season. The second baseman for the Atlanta Braves, Ozzie Albies. This kid is so much fun to watch. And he's only 21 years old. He's batting .313. He's like second in the National League in hits. Leads the team in RBIs. The Braves have been a fun story in themselves when you take a look at Dansby Swanson. And, you know, Okuna will be coming up here relatively soon. And Preston Tucker was batting lights out, but I'll tell you, I really have a lot of fun watching Ozzie Albies play.
Boy, you hit it on the nose. Atlanta has been a surprise team. You know, they moved into their new ballpark, and now with the new ballpark, they've always, you know, they proceeded before they got in there to get rid of a lot of the older players, bring up the new nucleus of younger players, and through trades in the past few years, as well as getting the nucleus of their draft coming up. This is a young, inspiring team. And as you say, that second baseman is a top-notch player. And I'm looking to see how he translates into that lineup daily and seeing if he can sustain the numbers he's putting up so far.
Yeah, well, we see these young guys kind of bust onto the scene. I mean, again, covering the National League West the way you do, you saw this with Cody Bellinger last year, who was on a complete and utter tear. And you mentioned opposing batters figuring out Jameson Taillon. It's almost the same with offensive players as well, right? It's difficult for these guys to maintain this throughout the entire year.
Well, it's just, you know, matter of fact, you know, more or less, the scouts are up there watching. They're going to see holes. They're going to start pushing the pitchers to direct their pitches into those holes of a swing. No hitter is going to be hot in all four corners of a strike zone. And that's what happens when a guy comes up as a rookie. You know, you start seeing more pitches away. You start going away or you start pulling the ball. There's certain pitches you're going to see more over, so you got to carry over on them. But it's going to be adjustments on pitching staffs against them. And as you just talked about, the offense, how they make adjustments on different ways pitchers are going to throw to them. And that's going to be like a chess game. It's going to go back and forth. Certain teams will pitch somebody differently. Other teams won't. And you can sustain on getting higher batting averages when you go up against teams that don't have that scouting report like others do.
Has there been a player that has somewhat fascinated you, Bill, throughout the first 15 games, maybe an individual player, AL or NL, that you've taken notice of?
Well, you know, I of course, I'm an NL West guy, so I'm kind of watching the Diamondbacks, how they have pushed out an 11-4 record. And the guy that just always just makes me just watch and watch more and more of them is Paul Goldschmidt. Paul Goldschmidt came into the, you know, first maybe, you know, 30 at bats, and he had three hits. He was batting 100, one double. And, of course, he came into AT&T San Francisco last Monday, a week ago, and he's proceeded to go 10 for 24 in his next six games. Raises average to 240, four home runs, a couple doubles, triple. But he is just taken off. And when you see guys like a Paul Goldschmidt, a veteran hitter, struggle through the beginning and you start doubting him, all of a sudden it just takes one at bat, one game, and you start clicking back into how you can manage pitching and how you hit different pitches. And he went through San Francisco and Los Angeles. And, of course, they the Diamondbacks have won every series, five straight series they played. And he has been a big part of it the last two against the Giants and the Dodgers. Young players, there's so many young players up and down lineups in the National League. It's hard to just pick one out. But I sometimes like to go to that veteran guy that struggles and see how he's going to get back in the mix. And Paul Goldschmidt's that kind of guy.
This is more of an abstract question, but I see so many similarities when Goldschmidt is in the box to Joey Votto, and Votto has become one of my favorite hitters to watch. I mean, he's one of the...
That's one of your guys.
He is. I think he's one of the generation's best hitters. And so how do they compare, in your mind, Goldschmidt and Votto? Do you see comparisons as well?
Yeah, you know, of course, one's lefty, one's righty. That's not
right.
Going to do anything. But when you start looking at how they hit the four corners of the strike zone, how one pitch isn't going to affect them to the next. Veteran hitters can take an inside pitch and take it down the left field line or right field line, depending if they're right or left. But with these guys, they can start off slow, but they know at the end of the race, after the All-Star break, they're going to figure it out, and they're going to get right back to where their averages go. Yeah, you know, you're looking at Goldschmidt, going from batting 100 to almost 250 in a matter of six games. So yeah, these guys can get hot in a click of a finger. And if pitchers don't see that, and they got to start throwing different, you know, up, down, more or less changing the eyesight of the hitter as a pitcher, Votto, Goldschmidt, Posey, guys that have been around 4, 5, 6 years that consistently hit close to 300 every year, you're not going to hold them down for so long. They're going to come back and rattle a cage, and once they get hot, they'll stay hot.
Probably throw Charlie Blackmon in that conversation as well, right?
Perfect. Yep, another guy like that, Charles Blackmon. Arenado, another guy that can then can sustain that. You know, we're looking at Longoria out here in San Francisco, started off real bad, and he's been 6-for-16 against San Diego, and he's moved up his batting average. So, you know, guys that are, you know, you always talk about looking on the back of a baseball card, looking at averages, looking at how these guys play year after year. They don't reach these, you know, all-star teams or winning batting crowns if they don't make adjustments, and baseball is a game of adjustments.
Bill, we'll end with this. At the beginning of the season, I thought the three most no-brainer playoff picks in the NL would be the Dodgers, the Cubs, and the Nationals. The Cubs are at 500. The Dodgers and the Nationals are under 500. Any concerns with these teams, or do you still expect them to be there when it's all said and done?
It's always going to be those. They'll figure it out. You know, we talk about the Giants also being 6-9. Struggling offensively, three other starting pitchers go down. But I look at the Dodgers the same way. Kenley Jansen had a tough start. He's coming around again. You look at the Cubs, their rotation isn't as great as it was in the past, but they still have the names and the veteran leadership. You got to also look at the weather. The Cubs have been just playing in awful weather lately.
Yeah, they have.
Cold and damp and things like that. It's not baseball yet in Chicago. You saw how many games were postponed yesterday. A lot of the East Coast, even New York, postponed their game yesterday for today. First time I've ever seen that. But the weather is just bad. A lot of snowstorms, a lot of cold weather. And all those teams, except for, like you say, the Dodgers, teams that play out west, are getting that stable of play after game after game after game. When you have so many rainouts and so many games that are postponed, it's hard to get a rhythm, pitching or hitting. But I don't see any of those teams that have won division time and time again. It's just a struggle in the beginning. And they always say, you know, you've heard this before, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And at the end of the year, in August and September, all the top teams would be back up there battling.
Right. Hey, Bill, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Yeah, on Twitter, at Lasky19. I'll be on the Giants telecast this week where we're breaking down Arizona and the LA Angels. So if you do get NBC Bay Area, jump on there. And other than that, I'll be back on Monday. We talk more baseball, and I've always enjoyed talking baseball with you and your listeners, and I hope they enjoy it as you and I do.
Awesome stuff as always, Bill. Thank you very much for the time.
Yep, thank you again. I'll talk to you next Monday.
Definitely looking forward to it. That's Bill Lasky joining us to talk some Major League Baseball. We've got a break again for just a moment. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
With the sixth pick in the 2014 NBA Draft, the Boston Celtics select Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State University.
Marcus Smart from the Boston Celtics, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Marcus Smart, what a spin move and a finish. Hard to handle Marcus Smart, whether he's outside or inside the paint.
Let's close out this Tuesday edition of the show by talking some NBA basketball. In a lot of my spare time, I listen to podcasts, love listening to sports talk radio whenever I can, and one of my favorite podcasts involves Adrian Wojnarowski. The Woj Pod, it's fantastic. Because everybody knows anytime you want kind of under-the-radar information, you wait for a Woj bomb, right? So listen to Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast. I love it. He was talking about an NBA owner who recently got upset with his head coach for winning games down the stretch of the season. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the audio clip, or I would actually play the story for you that Wojnarowski is talking about, because it's pretty fascinating. But again, it's basically an owner yelling at a head coach for beating a pretty good team down the stretch as the regular season was closing out. And to me, this just signifies the biggest problem in the National Basketball Association, and that's teams tanking. And we know what happens. It's not a new phenomenon. The Philadelphia 76ers tanked for how long under Hinkie before he finally was shown the door and the whole trust the process thing became a phenomenon? It happens in the NBA. But from a fan's perspective, even from a media's perspective, I've covered the Utah Jazz when they have not been in playoff contention. And when you go to those games, you realize it's in the team's best interest to lose. And that stinks because we're talking about the ping pong balls, right? The percentage goes up whenever you lose and you have a better chance of getting the number one draft pick. And it's simple. The lottery was put in place to try to prevent teams from tanking. Okay, you could have the worst record in the league. You're not guaranteed the number one overall pick. That's why the lottery is put in place, because it should prevent teams from tanking. And in an effort to keep teams from tanking, the NBA is making some changes to its lottery system that'll be in place next year. The three worst teams in the NBA will each have a 14% chance of getting the number one pick. Currently, they have a 25% chance of getting the number one pick. So the NBA is going to limit tanking. Here, to me, is the biggest problem. And to me, it's very simple. And maybe in my mind, it's just too simple. Eliminate trading protected draft picks. I watched a team in Los Angeles, and I'm talking about the Lakers, tank for the last three seasons because they had traded a protected draft pick to Phoenix for Steve Nash. And the Lakers flat out tanked over the past three seasons. And because they tanked, they were able to draft Brandon Ingram. They were able to get Lonzo Ball. They were able to get D'Angelo Russell, who they turned into Kyle Kuzma. And that team in LA tanked, and nobody can convince me otherwise. And you see it all the way around. You can make all the changes you want to the lottery system, and I think that Adam Silver's on the right track here by changing the percentage from 25 to 14. That's a huge decrease in chance of landing the number one pick. But until you eliminate teams trading protected draft picks, I think this is going to be a problem in the NBA. The Philadelphia 76ers, that right there is a team that tanked for 5 years. They were drafting and stashing. They made drafting and stashing popular. Nobody had ever done that before Hinkie and the Philadelphia 76ers did it year after year after year. But you could trade a protected draft pick. You trade a pick that's top five protected. You have incentive to lose down the stretch to give yourself the best possible odds to land a pick inside the top five. That's a problem. So I think that Adam Silver has done the correct thing here by, you know, shortening the odds. But until you get rid of the protected picks, I think tanking is still going to be a massive problem in the NBA. Maybe not as much, because now, you know, the percentage of you landing that number one pick or two or three or four or wherever it's protected, you know, the lottery. You have teams that have lottery protected draft picks. That's just nuts to me. Hopefully the NBA gets rid of that relatively soon. Out of time on the show today. I'm going to stop rambling. We got to get set for NASCAR Live. That's coming up next right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I want to thank Coach Kyle Whittingham for taking out the time to join us on the show. Of course, Bill Lasky, always great to get his baseball insight. Tomorrow, we'll talk Emory High School baseball. Manager Rob Smith is set to join us tomorrow. Have a terrific Tuesday. I will catch you then. Be safe. I am out.